on the website. Or you want us to report or
you would recall we agreed with the Auditor General last week that today is going to be our meeting where we sit amongst ourselves on our own to evaluate the report that was presented to us and prepare ourselves for an engagement with the AG on the report that he has tabled before Parliament, whereupon we can then decide what to do with it. I have my understanding is that at the end of the exercise, we should ourselves draft a report on which we express ourselves on the report of the Auditor General, on the annual report, and our report would be our reporting to Parliament on our findings of the Auditor General's report. I'm mentioning this so that we are conscious of the fact that all this exercise will culminate in a report of the committee. And the form that our report will take to Parliament is important, because either we could simply have a standard format report that says we've considered the annual report of the AG and we satisfied, if we are satisfied, and we recommend that that report be, I don't know, like adopted or accepted by Parliament. But I'm sure there's a form, standard form that they use. But if we feel that we need to make some substantive observation on specific issues, then obviously that report will have an element of narration in it where we talk through those issues that we want to highlight. And the form would be slightly different because it would be probably more than one thing. So we would then have to decide at what point do we finalize such a report and adopt it, which might not be possible to do it next week after we've engaged with the AG. Only then can we then know what we then say finally. In terms of our agenda, we first have the
I'm a little bit worried that looking at the manner of a member present, that we might do the exercise right now, waiting for next week. Then when the other members come, they start raising new issues that will lead us not to the report. Maybe we can do our exercise, but I think maybe we need to give them a chance during the course of the week before the AG comes next Friday, so that they, whatever they would like to read, they read before they come
to the meeting.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good idea. Maybe at the end of this week, was basically talking to some items on our agenda today. This one in particular, I think it's right at the end. We have draft minutes that have been circulated, and we will need to go through them. I again will have that same problem that we cannot, can we adopt the minutes without a quorum? We can't either. But perhaps we can do the same thing to verify the minutes and then defer the actual adoption for next week and check and include in your correspondence that you suggest the same thing. And then we have the oversight visit. Again, I think the procedure is going to be the same. All documents have been circulated, and I assume we've tried to make time to look at them. But I'm going to suggest, how best would you prefer us to deal with this? Should we ask somebody, because they don't, and they're not actually very long, somebody to read out, and we stop that person if there's something that we think is not quite correct or accurate, and take it from there. Are we comfortable with that approach? All right, let's start reading. Reading fast. I suppose Joni, you're the secretary of the day. Starting with the first item, minutes.
The 19th of May.
The minutes of the 19th of May. Can you just run quickly through them? And anybody will stop you if there's anything that is recorded.
Standing committee on order to the annual draft minutes of proceedings, date Wednesday, 19th of May, 2010. Time 10 o'clock, venue S35, second floor, NCOPB. The agenda. Number one, finalization and adoption of committee 5-year strategic plan. Number two, nomination of task team members to consider remuneration package of the Auditor General of South Africa, AXA. Can I skip that one of present who was present? So I go to proceedings. The chairperson opened the meeting by welcoming members and guests. He explained the agenda, informed members that due to the failure of the meeting of 14th of May not achieving a quorum, some decisions like the adoption of the strategic plan had to stay over. Nevertheless, members were still able to discuss the draft strategic plan at that meeting. The committee secretary was tasked to draft a proposed program for the next parliamentary term. Agenda items on the program that should be informed by the strategic plan. Third paragraph. Members present at that meeting were also asked to nominate persons for a multi-party task team that will, together with the remuneration committee of the Auditor General, REMCO, consider the remuneration package of the Auditor General and advise the committee accordingly. Resolutions. Multi-party task team. The following members will form part of the task team that will consider and make recommendation on the remuneration package for the Auditor General. One, Advocate M. Masuta, Chairperson. Two, J. E. Sosibo. Three, Ms. S. R. Tsebe. Four, Ms. M. H. Steele. 5, Mr. N. Singh. 6, Ms. L. M. Mashiani.
Can I just make sure that my name is spelled correctly in all of the documents? Sometimes the E is left out.
it was agreed to by members that the management committee will investigate and advise the committee on which overseas countries to be visited. The researcher was tasked with developing a discussion document that will assist the committee in this regard. New Zealand seemed to be preferred by most members as one of the countries to be visited. Local visits. Struggling municipalities experiencing water challenges should also be visited. The visit should take place during Parliament's upcoming oversight period, and the Secretariat should interact with the Office of the AG regarding the municipalities to be visited and on accompanying the Committee on Visits. Minutes will also henceforth be adopted at all committee meetings. The committee's annual report should be drafted as early as possible. The next item is committee program. The draft committee program was adopted subject to changes to be made. Committee strategic plan. Professor L.B.G. Ndabadaba, seconded by Mr. N. Singh, moved for adoption of the committee 5-year strategic plan. The motion was agreed to. Conclusion, the chairperson thanked all present for their attendance and wished members well during the upcoming constituency period. He mentioned that members who were fortunate to obtain tickets for the FIFA World Cup should enjoy themselves. Meeting adjourned at 11:20.
Let me also just remind, probably the next minutes would
Draft minutes of the 14th of May 2010. Agenda number one, finalization and adoption of Committee 5-year strategic plan. Number two, consideration of the letter from the Remuneration Committee of the Auditor General of South Africa on the remuneration of the Auditor General. Number three, report back by the chairperson on meetings, workshops attended. I'll start by number one, introductions. The chairperson reported that he granted the committee secretary, Mr. Tony Renroff, leave to travel to Botswana to see his daughter, who was turning 21 of age. He introduced Mr. Eddie Matonzi, who was acting as committee secretary for that day. Mr. Matonzi read all apologies sent to the committee, and the chairperson gave background information on the agenda of the meeting. The committee did not add anything to the agenda. Number two, finalization and adoption of committee 5-year strategic plan. The chairperson reported that he received a strategic plan of the committee 2 weeks ago from the facilitator. The facilitator of the strategic plan was not in attendance at this meeting. The committee did not consider the strategic plan for the following reasons. There was no quorum formed, and the facilitator was not in attendance at the meeting. Three, consideration of the letter from the Remuneration Committee of the Auditor General of South Africa on remuneration of the Auditor General. The committee received a report from the Auditor General that, and the letter on the 4th of May 2010 regarding the review of the remuneration of the Auditor General. The chairperson reported that the appointment of the AG was governed by the Public Audit Act, Section 7.1 to Section 7.3. The salary package of the AG was supposed to be the same as that of the Chief Justice, and he had not received a salary increase since November 2009. The committee secretary read a letter to the benefit of all members.
Sorry, Chair. The act is not the same as. Those are not the words that are actually used in the PAA yet. Rather use the exact wording of the act, I suggest.
Says here, the salary package of the AG was supposed to be the same as that of the Chief Whip. Chief Justice, sorry. Chief Justice.
The contract number of the
the use of the word same. We can talk about similar or equivalent, but we cannot say same because that implies equality. And that is the problem.
All right.
It's the similarity or equivalence is acceptable in terms of the act.
Oh, all right. All right.
That's my concern.
So that's
the
that's
same.
True, actually. All right. No, I agree.
Okay.
Makes better sense in easier. All right. That's the essence of it. Proceed.
The next paragraph. The committee secretary read a letter to the benefit of all members. The multi-party task team should have been formed if there was a quorum. It was agreed that each political party should agree on who should serve on the task team. The nominated names must be forwarded to the chairperson by the 18th of May 2010. The chairperson of the committee would serve on the task team, and Honorable Steele indicated his availability to serve on the task team. The purpose of the task team was to look at a report submitted to the committee and meet with the AGSA Remuneration Committee, even during parliamentary recess. The task team will report back to the committee on its recommendations. Number four, report back by the chairperson on meetings and workshops attended. The chairperson attended the meeting at the invitation of the AG to address senior managers, where he reinforced the relationship of the AG and Parliament and its independence on the week of the 19th of April 2010. He also attended a workshop on the audit outcomes of government departments. He also attended a meeting with the AG to observe as a chairperson of SCOAC, where the Independent Regulatory Board of Auditors was presenting. The IRBA. IRBA is an entity that audits the AG. The chairperson also reported that from the 24th to the 28th of May, he would attend a meeting of the Magistrate Commission in Gauteng. Therefore, he would not be in a position to attend the APAC conference, the APAC conference. Number five, conclusion. All members must be contacted to establish their availability during the week of the 17th to the 21st of May. The committee should meet again to consider the letter from the AG and the composition of the task team and adoption of the five-year strategic plan. During that meeting, the facilitator must be invited and must attend. Meeting adjourned at 13 hours.
I think the one exercise I attended at the AG's office that I reported on was the quality assurance. So I think we just need to capture it correctly, which is supervised by IRBA. There was a short two-page report which I submitted to the committee, which clearly explains what it is. So we must just capture it as it reflects in that
to the IRBA matter, the Secretary has used the word audit. I'm not sure it's correct to say that IRBA audits the AGSA.
Yeah, it doesn't, actually.
So supervise or monitor, something like that, but not audit.
Yeah. Actually, in fact, the whole sentence is a bit fudged, so it will need to be properly captured. IRBA supervises the quality control process that the AG internally conducts on an annual basis. And that's what I was attending, was to observe the different teams within the AG's office presenting on different aspects, looking at the human resource Other than that, anything else that colleagues want to raise in the minutes of that day? None. All right. Shall we proceed to the next batch? I realize we're going backwards rather than starting at the bottom and building up. So we're becoming more and more historical as we proceed. But anyway, we've already started on that gradient and we can only slope further down. All right, proceed.
See the one on the workshop. The date is Tuesday, the 30th of March, and Wednesday, the 31st of March, 2010. The workshop on agenda, the workshop on committee's 5-year strategic plan. Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Proceedings. The chairperson opened the workshop by welcoming members and officials, including the Deputy Auditor General, Mr. T.K. Makwetu. He reminded members of the reasons for the workshop. The chairperson indicated that the committee is apparently one of six committees that have so far not completed and handed in its 5-year strategic plan. The chairperson further read out the agenda and explained the procedure that would be followed by all during the workshop. The chairperson informed the meeting that Parliament has provided the committee with a facilitator for the workshop, Mr. Kevin Christian, who will assist, amongst other things, with the drafting of the strategic plan. The facilitator proceeded by proposing possible agenda items that could be considered and included in the strategic plan. He mentioned that the Project Management Office, PMO, assisted a few committees with their strategic plans and that a template has been developed for this process. The format of the template included bullet point 1, core objectives, 2, values and policies, 3, committee plans, 4, key issues for committee. A draft plan will be ready by the following Tuesday, the 6th of April 2010, and will be emailed to the committee secretary. Presentations. 1, the mandate of SCORC and parliamentary environment in which it operates, part 1, by the chairperson, Arugard M. Masuta. Some of the key points made by the chairperson in his presentation included the following. Bullet point 1, accountability constitutes the process that compels the government and constitutional institutions to explain and justify their actions. 2, the National Assembly at NA provides for a mechanism to ensure that all organs of state are accountable to it. 3, financial accountability is a critical component of good governance. Good governance is at the core of a democratic society. The Standing Committee on the Auditor General, SCOA, deals with both financial and legislative accountability. The last bullet point, the role of SCOA is to hold the Auditor General accountable to Parliament and to ensure the impartiality, independence, dignity and effectiveness of the AG. Number 2, presentation, the mandate of SCOA and parliamentary environment in which it operates, part 2 by committee researcher. The presentation by the researcher included the following main points. The purpose of the Public Audit Act 25 of 2004 and its effect to provisions of the Constitution. A, to give effect to the provisions of the Constitution establishing and assigning functions to the Auditor General. B, to provide guidelines for the auditing of institutions in the public sector. And C, to provide for accountability arrangement for the Auditor General, of the Auditor General. Point 2, the mandate of the Standing Committee on the Auditor General. One of the objects of the Public Audit Act in Section 2 is to assist and protect the Auditor General in order to ensure its independence, partiality, dignity, and effectiveness. To contribute to this section, The committee maintains oversight over Audit General in terms of Section 552B2 of the Constitution. Next bullet point, functions and activities of the Standing Committee on the Audit General. A, to consider the budget and business plan of the AG and submit recommendations to the National Assembly. B, to receive the annual report of the AG in August to September of each year. Scrutinize the report and submit recommendations to the National Assembly. C, to consider the appointment or confirmation of the external auditor. Next bullet point, the annual SCOA calendar in performing its mandate. And during February period, during February and March, the activity is attend ASGS roadshows for the PFMA. During August and September, receive the ASGSA annual report. In October, receive the AGSA strategic plan. October, November, we attempt AGSA roadshows for PSMA. In November, adopt report on AGSA annual report and strategic plan. And again in November, we to attend the Association of Public Accounts Committee conference.
I think where we say receive, shouldn't we say consider?
It's given that we will receive it once it's referred to us by the speaker after it's been tabled with Parliament. But our activity really is considering rather than just receiving. But the actual adoption then happens later. All right. Along there, that table, it says receive on those dates, receive the annual report on in October, receive this, but I think it's actually consider and receive. Consider.
Mandate of SCOAC and parliamentary environment in which it operates, part 3 by committee secretary. The presentation by the secretary included the following main points. The constitutional obligation of parliament is to pass laws and to oversee the executive actions. That is the core business of parliament. Parliament performs its core business through committees which are supported by the committee section in terms of administrative work and provisions of procedural and content advice. Therefore, committee section is regarded as one of the key support structures.
I was thinking back on the table, so to check you back. Where are we saying adopt the strategic plan and the annual report, shouldn't we actually be saying report on? Up to us to adopt those instruments, or do we simply report to the House and the House then resolves on the recommendations that we make in regard to those two documents the recommendations that we've made to the House, which might include a recommendation that the House, I don't know what the language will be, accepts, adopts, or approves the annual report and the strategic plan. I don't know what the House does. But what the committee does, I think, is not to adopt the report or the strategic plan, it's to report on. Just double check it with the committee section. But I think that's what we actually do.
We have to accept or whatever, because we are not adopting I think it's the House that adopts this after consideration. Then we have to, let's say, accepted the report and the strategic plan together at the same time in November. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, maybe that should assist us to go back to the drawing board, because maybe that's actually the best way to do it, to consider and approve the strategic plan, well, the annual report, after we have considered and engaged with the strategic plan, because the one informs the other. Maybe we can take cue from portfolio committees under the new Money Girls Act, how the procedure is going to work in relation to these things. You know, these BRRR reports, and how they arrive at them. Because that then informs the way they work, as I understand it, is that the first stage is to go through the annual report and the auditor's statement, obviously. Interrogate them for purposes of eventually looking at the budget proposal for the department in the light of what their previous performance as reflected in the annual report and the financials say, so that when you approve their budget, you say, okay, your annual report says you failed 1, 2, 3, 4. Why must we still give you money to do the same thing that you failed on? So the one influences the other when you make the decision. In our case, the strategic plan is the point at which, amongst other things, we consider and approve the budget of the AG, which includes the tariffs that they're going to charge, and obviously the expenditure lines in that budget. So, to do justice to that, we must have at least had sight of the annual report that tells us how they performed previously. So maybe it does make sense to then approve the two together as a package, and possibly report on both of them as one package. But I don't know procedurally, in terms of the committee section, what the practice would be in relation to portfolio committees, for example. Johnny?
Yes, Chair, but I'm going to take this a little bit back. What generally happens is that documents are tabled, and as we said, as we saw with the annual report now, as much as it has not been referred, once it has been tabled and it refers, it says in the ATC for consideration to SCOAC now, for consideration and report, which means that SCOAC will have to consider the document and also report back to Parliament. That report back will have to be in a report form. So once we've dealt with it, we have to write a report that reports back to Parliament. That report in itself has to be adopted by the committee, which goes to Parliament. So we have to report, to adopt the report.
Now, that's not the problem. The issue is really to say, in our report that we adopt, what are we doing to the report of the AG, the annual report of the AG? Are we adopting it? Are we reporting that we've adopted it? Or are we simply reporting that we have considered it and we recommend to the House that the House do 1, 2, 3 in respect of or in relation to that report?
committee has dealt with it, and as soon as it asks them to report in itself, it doesn't stipulate as to when this report should take place, because it doesn't know as to how long the committee will deal with that document as such. I've noticed the one of last year was reported on both at the same time by this committee. The annual report and the strategic plan was reported on the same time. It can be done like that also, because as I say, there is no specific time frame as to when the report is supposed to be done.
Our strategic plan here seems to point to both those exercises happening in November. You see the last item there says adopt report on access, the annual report and strategic plan, and it says November. Let me see that. Anyway, the purpose of the exercise really is to determine the accuracy of the minutes, as opposed to, we haven't yet gotten to the point of discussing matters arising. Maybe we should just confirm that the record is correct, that was how it was discussed, and then later we could then ask the question, is that the route we prefer to go? Right, let's proceed. So always correcting there is the word adopt. It's to report on, because remember you yourself have just said that the ATC says we must consider and report on. So let's use the same language. Instead of adopt, is report on the annual report.
Presentation by the secretary included the following main points. I think I've read it, but let me read it again. The constitutional obligation of Parliament is to pass laws and to oversee the executive actions. This is the core business of Parliament. Parliament performs its core business through committees which are supported by the special section in terms of administrative work and provisions of procedural and content advice. Therefore, committee section is regarded as one of the key support structures to Parliament. There are approximately 56 committees in Parliament, MCOP and NA. The committee section has a staff complement of 160 people, of which 55 are committee secretaries. Some of the key result areas of committee secretaries are the following. Number one, providing procedural and content advice to committees. Number two, organizing committee activities. Number three, processing amendments to bills. Number three, capturing and drafting of committee minutes and reports. Number four, facilitating implementation of committee decisions. In the last one, facilitating committee budget process. Number four, presentation by the Deputy Auditor General, Mr. Kim Makwetu, on access, mandate, and stakeholders. Mr. Makwetu spoke about the constitutional mandate of the Office of the Auditor General as the external auditor of all national and provincial state departments, municipalities, and other public entities. It enables oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing in order to build public confidence.
The Constitution recognizes the independence of the Auditor General subject only to the requirements of the Constitution and the law. And it requires the Auditor General to be impartial and to perform his or her duties, powers, and functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. The Constitution requires the AG to submit audit reports to any legislature or any other authority prescribed by national legislation, and that all audit reports are made public, and it prohibits any person or organ of state from interfering with the functions of the AG. In order to deliver on its mandate effectively, AGSA has to be known, understood, and recognized by all stakeholders as an organization that enables oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector in order to build public confidence. The accountability relationship between AGS and SCOAC was stipulated in the Public Audit Act, which provided for the establishment of a parliamentary oversight mechanism to assist and protect the AG, to ensure the independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness of the AG, and to advise the National Assembly. This mechanism was established in terms of Section 10.3 of the Public Audit Act. Let me come to questions, clarity, and comments. Members wanted to know how SCOAC and SCOPA were going to hold the AG accountable. Was the World Cup not going to interfere with the planned roadshows? How was the AG going to conduct performance auditing in addition to financial auditing? Clarity on the existence of the audit commission was requested. The next question was, what mechanisms are in place to assist the AG in collecting revenues? Next question.
Commission or audit committee?
No, it says commission, yeah, I think it is committee. Clarity on the existence of the audit committee was requested. The next question is, what mechanisms are in place to assist the AG in collecting revenues? And tenders should be scrutinized and monitored thoroughly while they are running their course instead of waiting until the job was done, only to discover there was no added value. Tenders should be scrutinized and monitored thoroughly.
And audit should be scrutinized.
I think it had something to do with tendering. Because if I look at the response from the AG audit, it deals with tendering. How are the audit reports published and what methodologies are employed in the standardization of reports and their terminology? The next question, who is responsible for doing follow-ups when an audit discovers unwanted situations? And then the last one, how are audit opinions arrived at? And then the responses on those questions. The Auditor General, in his response to the questions, replied that, number one, a thorough process was needed to interrogate how the Committee of Public Accounts, COPA, and SCOAC could work together to ensure committees discharged their duties. Once that was achieved, it would be easier to hold the AG accountable. The next one, the next bullet, the impact of the World Cup would not affect the roadshow so much. Responsibilities lies with the institutions that were going to be audited. In fact, roadshows for Public Management Act, PFMA, would take place in October and not in June, July. The next bullet. With respect to performance audit, this will be introduced gradually
oversight on public entities. Next bullet. The Audit Commission ceased to exist when the Public Audit Act of 2004 was promulgated because the new constitution of 1996 necessitated a new set of arrangements.
So the Audit Commission was the agency back then.
Next bullet. There is no clarity yet as to whether the collection of outstanding revenues is feasible. Interventions would be explored. It's important to get first-hand information on challenges faced by municipalities in discharging their duties. SCOA could see how it could assist, as it has the right to assist the office of the AG. This would be done through various channels, such as approaching COPA, the Committee on Cooperative Governance, and Traditional Affairs, COCTA, and the Committee on Appropriations. The next one on tendering. The challenge to tendering was that one did not always know which department has a significant tender during their budget. 60% of the budget of department, 60% of the budget of departments was used for procurement. In government, the issue of control over assets was a pervasive issue, or pervasive one. The Ministry of Finance had been asked to look at a matter mostly so as to identify ways of dealing with it. The next one, when entities tabled their annual report in Parliament, the report contains the AG's audit report. This report is regarded as a public document. On standardization of reports and terminology, the AG's office has in 2010 started to focus on this matter. Next bullet. When evidence supporting documents were not found, a disclaimer was given. It is given when the needed information is suppressed or destroyed. Once the disclaimer was reported, a member or official of the provincial legislature ought to follow it up in order to ensure that implementation is successfully carried through. And then the last bullet. The Auditor General's office followed a set of standards called International Standards of Auditing. These sets of standards are used for conducting and evaluating an audit process. The standards would dictate based on the professional judgment of the auditor which opinion to give. Then after a quality assurance process by an external audit firm would be done to determine when it agreed with the agent. In conclusion, the chairperson noted that the mission and vision of the committee was omitted from the strategic plan and this should be included. Members deliberated on this, including the mandate of the committee. It was agreed to that both the mission and vision should form part of the strategic plan. Members expressed their displeasure over the manner that the committee's funding on accommodation application for a workshop has been handled by the Office of the CEO of Parliament. The chairperson was asked to write a letter of complaint to the House chairperson, Mr. Obapela, and also to raise the matter with the chief whip. The chairperson thanked members for their attendance. He also expressed gratitude to all the participants, including the Deputy Auditor General and his team, and to the parliamentary staff that assisted the committee.
Well, you said COPA, I think it's COPA. Yeah,
COPA.
What not is COPA and COPA? COPA. Yeah. COPA.
Yeah. COPA. But they say it's COPA.
No, COPA. COPA and COPA. Look. COPA, yeah.
Yes.
COPA, yeah.
Yes.
COPA is actually COPA.
And that's
cocktails, yeah. You've written COPA instead of COPA.
No. Let me read it to you. This should be done through various channels, such as approaching COPA or SCOPA. Then the Committee on Cooperative Governance is another one. There's the second one.
What is COPA?
SCOPA is the one that the honorable member belongs to.
COPA.
Yes, because I understand that it's not called SCOPA. It's
phone call from, but the member can help us. It's a committee on, but I'll change it.
Committee on public accounts?
Yes.
But it seems like members of parliament are not aware of the decision of the.
No, I'll change
of
it.
The secretary. Honorable Bill actually served in the scope, don't you?
Served where the committee was fully dropped.
Yeah. So the committee section says that the name is COPA.
Let's just establish. Is it established in terms of a provision of the Constitution or an Act of Parliament? Is there provision for it anywhere in the Constitution or in an Act of Parliament?
Constitution.
It's specifically mentioned in the Constitution.
There should be a committee of public accounts.
In the Constitution. Then it is a standing committee. Therefore, it is called SCOPA. And if the committee session thinks otherwise, they are wrong. All right. Right, so that's the minutes for that occasion. Any further corrections?
In those questions, of this question again, questions regarding the standards, I think it was tendered. If I recall, Honorable Sede was trying to explain.
Yeah, no, I corrected myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I corrected myself. Yes, correct. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. Another question. The last question.
Yeah.
I just needed clarity. It will say how audit opinion arrived at.
Yeah, that was the question. How audit opinion arrived at? How audit opinion arrived at? Yeah, I think it should be maybe the correct way of formulating should have been how audit opinion arrived. So basically the question is how does the Auditor General arrive at the audit opinion that he finally arrives at. So that's really the question. So that R maybe could rather be shifted further instead of how our audit opinions arrived at, we could say, how audit opinions are arrived. Okay, colleagues, anything else before we do that one? I can just say that I did express a strong reservation. I don't remember if we actually wrote a letter to Parliament regarding the whole situation, but what we discovered was that we were not alone in this, and in subsequent meetings of chairs, I think
proceed to the next minute. 24th February. Very short. Quickly run through that.
Wednesday, the 24th of February. Agenda discussion on committee's 5-year strategic plan. I move over to proceedings. The chairperson opened the meeting and welcomed all present. He explained the agenda and the reasons behind the agenda. Members deliberated on possible agenda issues that should be included in the committee's 5-year strategic plan. Discussions were also held on the Auditor General's roadshows in the provinces and possible participation by members to it. The current budget of the committee is 330,000. Resolutions. It was agreed to that a workshop on the 5-year strategic plan be held in 2 weeks' time at a venue outside Parliament, and that a workshop be facilitated by the Office of the AG. Members further agreed to undertake oversight visits in March 2010 to municipalities in 4 provinces, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Limpopo, which are currently experiencing audit challenges. It was also agreed to that members will join and participate in the AG's roadshows in the various provinces from which members are. For example, Honorable Singh from KwaZulu-Natal will join the roadshows when it is in KwaZulu-Natal, and Honorable Mongonyana from the Eastern Cape will join the roadshow when it reaches the Eastern Cape. The chairperson will interact with the AG to provide
from which members are should be from which members will come.
It was agreed members will join the passage in the roadshows in the various provinces from which members are. You say I should put
members come. Let them come from.
Okay.
So you are a chief English editor.
I don't want to make it naturally complicated.
All right.
So I will just change it as you see it.
All right.
All right. The chairperson will interact with the AG to provide clarity on the form of participation by members in the roadshows. The committee secretary and committee assistant was tasked to oversee all the logistical arrangements for the upcoming committee workshop and oversight visit and report back to the management committee as soon as it is reasonably possible. Meeting adjourned at 13:00.
Any suggestion, suggested correction? None? That's then the last set of minutes we have to consider. So that's the full set. This has long been outstanding, and I think going forward we should make it a practice to have this kind of interval so we can clean up stuff. If we're happy with the minutes, unless there's any matters arising at the minutes that anybody wishes to still raise, perhaps we can proceed to then deal with the next item on the agenda, which is, I noticed that the tea is almost ready. Well, they haven't delivered it yet. But what time is it now?
I think it's 11:45.
Oh, all right. No wonder that the dishes. All right. Okay. What is the next agenda item? The oversight visits. Who leads us on this one? Yeah. Is there anybody who doesn't have copies? You all have. Okay. Shall we do the same? Go through it. Blow by blow, just run through it. It's like we could be done today by 11 o'clock. All right, let's go.
Apprentice in Mpumalanga, the 26th to the 30th of July 2010. And one report of the Standing Committee on the Auditor General on oversight visits to audit challenged municipalities in Mpumalanga. The Standing Committee on the Auditor General has been undertaken oversight visits to audit challenge municipalities in Mpumalanga from the 26th to the 30th of July 2010, reports as follows. One introduction. The Auditor General of South Africa is currently busy with a campaign that was initiated by the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, COCTA, called Operation Clean Audit by 2040. The campaign is directed mostly at municipalities that are experiencing audit challenges. A large number of municipalities receive disclaimers reports from the Auditor General for the financial year 2008-2009. This is the worst audit opinion that is given by the Auditor General. Section 2 of the Public Audit Act 2004 mandates the Standing Committee on the Auditor General to assist the Auditor General in order to ensure the effectiveness of the Auditor General. In order to contribute to this object of the Act and also support a clean audit campaign by the committee, the committee accompanied the Auditor General in visiting some of those municipalities with negative audit opinion challenges in Mpumalanga. The committee hoped that information obtained through this oversight will assist the committee to fully understand challenges that are facing municipalities with negative audit opinions. Delegation. Advocate E. M. Masuta, Chairperson and Leader of the Delegation. Professor L. B. J. Davadaro. Ms. D. N. Pumalo. Ms. J. E. Sosimo. Mr. M. C. Staff Officials of the JRMA Committee Secretary. Mr. Lekiso, committee researcher, and the C. Adams, committee assistant. Number 3, the findings. This is at the Mombela local municipality. The delegation, together with officials from the Office of the Auditor General, met the executive mayor, the acting municipal manager, the CFO, and members of the audit committee. The AG's office presented the following key controls that were identified to be applicable to the municipality and which, if fully implemented, could assist towards the achievement of a clean audit opinion. Bullet point 1, segregation of duties. 2, physical security of assets. 3, supervision and monitoring. 4, comparison and reconciliation. 5, personnel and personnel, and then the last one, performance information. The municipality received a qualified audit report for the 2008-2009 financial year and underspent 48.2 million provided for the providing of the conditional grant. Spent 48.2 million provided of the conditional grant. Some of the challenges that were mentioned by the mayor included bullet point 1, the dismissal by council of the previous mayor. Staff capacity problem. the municipality reported that issues raised by the Auditor General in the last audit report have been implemented, including the establishment of the Audit Performance Committee, and that positive results were expected in the next financial report. Second visit was to Bushbuck Bridge Municipality. The delegation and the office of the Auditor General met the Mayor of Bushbuck Bridge. The AB's office proposed some key control measures that would assist the municipality in going forward. The measures should also empower the mayor in monitoring operations within the municipality. The municipality received a qualified report for the financial year 2008-2009. The mayor shared some of the challenges that the municipality faced. Number one, suspension of the municipal manager, and under brackets it says is the reason, underspending of conditional grant mentioned as one of the reasons. Bullet point 2, unbudgeted projects. Bullet point 3, staff capacity problems. The mayor mentioned that issues raised in the report of 2008-2009 were being addressed, including the establishment of the internal audit committee, and that more positive results is expected for the next financial year. The delegation was impressed with the obvious hands-on role play by the mayor in the municipality. And Komazi Municipality. The delegation, together with the office of the Auditor General, met with the executive mayor and the municipality. The chairperson of the committee explained the reasons behind the oversight visit, which was to give support to the functions of the audit in general and also give support to the campaign Clean Audit by 2004. The AG's office addressed the mayor on some of the issues that resulted in that of audit opinion in the past and also made concrete proposals that, if implemented, could assist the municipality towards a clean audit opinion. The municipality received a disclaimer opinion for the 2008-2009 financial year. Some of the challenges faced by the municipality included the following. The suspension of the municipal manager, and in practice it says that the municipality management took to be dismissed. This was said by the mayor. Bullet point 2, the poor asset registering. Bullet point 3, staff capacity, especially in finance section. The mayor mentioned that improvements have been made to the issues raised in the last report of the Auditor General. This included the establishment of the internal audit committee and providing training for staff members. Assistance has also been sought from the Provincial Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Committee, COPSA, to second staff project budgets have been implemented. There is a report to be considered. It's the report from Alamo.
I recall when we were there, the AG's officials actually read out, as you say, all the
for an oversight visit to Orange Challenge Municipality in Limpopo from the 2nd to the 6th of August 2010. I'll start by introduction. Okay, let me. Okay. I'm saying in the last bullet, I mean the last paragraph, the mayor mentioned that improvements have been made to the issues raised in the last report of the audit channel, including the establishment of an internal audit committee and providing training for staff members. Assistance has also been sought from the provincial COPTA to support staff.
An over-summarization of the mayor's response. I'm sure we have done justice to the mayor.
Proper custody of source documents was identified as a challenge, and therefore I think even went to the extent of having them locked up in his office, the cabinet to be locked up in his office, and for those who want to obtain those documents to sign for them when they take them and sign for them when they return them, so that they can have proper tracking of source documents. At least I remember that one. But I'm just saying, let's not over-summarize some of these things, because the whole purpose of the exercise gets defeated. Because from these experiences, we're then able to share what the challenges are and how municipalities are responding to these challenges and report on that more fully. Anybody else on this report?
That's the main point that I was going to ask. Fine, we have just taken these trees. Then the exercise has been done. Then after that, what is going to happen?
You see, we're going to have, as we go through this report, reflect on what kind of recommendations we're going to make to the House in our reports. As the reports then, they're not complete because they do not have section on recommendations. And that's what we're going to have to come up with today. If we cannot exhaust it, in any case, we cannot adopt this report today. We can reflect further and give it further. But come next week or so when we adopt. We have the report complete with the recommendations. I had asked Jody to start looking in analyzing this, start looking at possible draft recommendations that we could look at, but obviously it didn't have time to do that, so we'd have to come up with that, because the report without recommendations is not complete. Point I was just saying, is there anything else that has been done?
The Senate Committee on Auditor General, having undertaken oversight visits to Auditor General's municipalities in Limpopo from the 2nd to the 6th of August 2010, reports as follows. One introduction. The Auditor General of South Africa is currently busy with a campaign that was initiated by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs called Operation Clean Audit by 2014. The campaign is directed mostly at municipalities that are experiencing audit challenges. Large number of municipalities receive disclaimer reports, the worst audit opinion given by the Auditor General. Section 2 of the Public Audit Act 2004 mandates the Standing Committee on the Auditor General to assist the Auditor General in order to ensure the effectiveness of the Auditor General. In order to contribute to this object of the Act and also support the Clean Audit 2014 campaign, the committee accompanied the Auditor General in visiting some of the municipalities with negative audit opinion challenges in Mpumalanga. The committee hoped that even...
Well, especially that part. Mm-hmm. Because
when
the
when
that
one didn't be the same as the other one.
Yeah.
The committee hoped that information obtained through this oversight will also assist the committee fully understand the challenges that are facing municipalities with negative audit opinion. I leave out the delegation as such and go to the findings. Office of the Auditor General, Polokwane. The delegation met officials of the Office of the Auditor General, Polokwane, and were briefed on the audit outcomes of the Limpopo local government municipality. Some of the salient points mentioned included the following. Bullet point one, the local Department of Education received a disclaimer. A number of documents were not provided and fraud is suspected. Bullet point two, the province is growing and has 13 municipalities. 14 received disclaimers last year. Bullet point three, introductory meetings are currently being held between municipalities and the AG where letters of engagement are signed. Next bullet point. Municipalities had 40% staff vacancy rate previously. This has decreased to 20% at the moment. Next one, the province asked that all provincial entities be audited. This is informed by the campaign of Clean Audit by 2014. Next bullet point, the unavailability of municipal senior managers, including mayors, to meetings with the AG. Next bullet point, the effect of shifting of staff creating instability as a result. Non-registering of schools resulting in non-payment to municipalities for services rendered. Next bullet point, some municipalities are not viable, only able to pay salaries of staff and councillors. The last bullet point, large influx of foreigners, they mentioned Zimbabwe in particular, to some of the municipalities, possibly problem of protest on service delivery. The AG's office concluded by remarking that it is possible to obtain an unqualified audit report if the basic internal control systems, specifically document controls, are in place and constantly monitored by the leadership. A general lack of capacity and skills to fully comply with a prescribed accounting framework was the main contributing factor to the high incident of audit qualifications. Palabora Municipality. The delegation, together with the Office of the General, met with the Executive Mayor, the Municipal Manager, and the Audit Steering Committee of the municipality. The chairperson of the committee explained the reasons behind the oversight visit, which mainly was to give support to the functions of the Auditor General and support the Clean Audit by 2014 campaign. The AG's office addressed the municipality on some of the issues that require attention and also proposed corrective measures that will assist towards a clear, ordered opinion. The municipality received unclean audit opinions for the past 5 years, including the disclaimer for 2008-2009. Some of the challenges...
Chair, sorry.
Yeah.
Unclean. That's not an audit opinion. It should be qualified audit opinions.
Some of the challenges faced by the municipality included the following. Bullet point one, struggle with legacy problems. Two, the collecting of revenue remains a problem. Three, the role of the local rate players association. Four, slow payment by Department of Education for services rendered. The municipality reported that it has implemented all the issues raised by the AG in the last report, including the establishment of the Audit Steering Committee. Officials from the office of the AG will also become part of the committee, the Audit Steering Committee. Almost all outstanding fees owed to the AG have been paid. The asset register is in place. The working relationship with the office of the Auditor General has improved. The municipality won the annual cleanest municipality in the country award 3 times. Refuse management is extended to rural areas as well, and the municipality expects a clean audit opinion with the upcoming financial report. The delegation was pleased with the plans and direction of the municipality and also noted the gender makeup of all female of the leadership. Makaro Municipality. The delegation accompanied by the Office of the Auditor General met with the Executive Mayor, the Municipal Manager, and members of the Audit Steering Committee of the municipality. The recent Guyana visit to the municipality was given by the chairperson of the committee. This was followed with briefing by the Office of the Auditor General on the reasons behind the negative audit opinions, which included failure to provide documentation to support the determination of value of assets and poor maintenance of asset register. The AG also proposed positive action that would assist towards clean audit outcome. The municipality received a disclaimer for the 2008-2009 financial year. Some of the challenges mentioned by the municipality included point one, a new municipal manager just joined in April 2010, a local rate payers association. Some issues raised by them were political and not administration. The last bullet point is a very high turnover of CFOs. The municipality reported that it has implemented almost 95% of the outstanding issues raised in the last report of the AG. Including the compilation of the asset register, the establishment of an internal audit committee. Projects in rural areas are ongoing in spite of objections from the Ratepayers Association. The Department of Education and Public Works have pledged to pay all outstanding fees owed to the municipality for services provided. There are bid committees in place monitoring the granting of tenders. Capricorn Municipality. The delegation, together with the Office of the Auditor General, met with the Municipal Manager, the CFO, and members of the Audit Steering Committee of the municipality. The leader of the delegation explained the reason for the visit to the municipality, including the support of the committee for a clean audit by 2014 campaign. The AG's office addressed the municipality on some of the various issues that form part of the last audit report. Proposals were also made to the municipality by the AG's office on positive measures to be taken to improve future audit outcomes. The municipality received disclaimer audit opinions for the last couple of years, including for the 2008-2009 financial year. Some of the challenges mentioned by the municipality included, point one, high turnover of CFO, two, leave encashment, three, legacy and staff capacity problems, four, bypassing of municipality by some mines regarding water supply, in brackets it say they deal directly with the Department of Water Affairs, resulting in revenue loss to the municipality. Last bullet, problems with traditional leaders in collecting of revenues for services rendered. The municipality reported that it had put in place some of the key internal control systems asked for in the last financial report. The audit steering committee was established by the municipality. Poor filing systems was in the past responsible for previous disclaimer, but this has been corrected. Whistleblowing and fraud reporting has also been put in place to curb possible corruption. The AG's office mentioned that it was comfortable with the direction the municipality was moving. Ole mole municipality. The delegation or office of the Auditor General met with the Chief Financial Officer, CFO, of the municipality. No reasons were given for the absence of the mayor and the municipal manager. The chairperson explained the reasons behind the visit to the municipality. The AG's office informed the delegation that the absence of the mayor and the municipal manager was not new, and that this happened in previous occasions as well. The presence of key officials throughout the audit is critical to ensure that the audit outcomes of the municipality are improved in the future. Concern was therefore expressed regarding the upcoming meeting where the letter of engagement was to be signed with the municipal leadership and the AG's office. The municipality received a qualified opinion for the 2008-2009 financial year. Some of the challenges mentioned by the CFO included, number one, severe shortage of senior staff, two, no support given to CFO from mayor and municipal manager. Three, delay with the filling of staff vacancies. Four, irregular meetings with the AG. The delegation expressed serious concern at the unexplained absence to the meeting of the mayor and the MM and will request that the matter be investigated further. The AG's office concur with the report given by the CFO. Before conclusion, the committee wishes to express its thanks to the delegation members that availed themselves for the oversight visit. Sincere appreciation is also extended to the Auditor General and his officials for their contribution in making the visit a success. Special thanks to the driver, Mr. Bongani, who helped with transporting the delegation comfortably and safely, and thanks to the committee staff for their support, reporting the concerns.
Colleagues, that's the summary. I think that perhaps under Mulemule,
one could do a paragraph relating to the subsequent follow-up that we did in relation to the difficulties that we experienced there. First,
to say it out that I was not impressed by the second visit to the Pope. That the visit becomes because this is meant for the community, not only for the agency. So I was really not impressed. I hope when we plan to visit either that provinces or any entity, let's take this seriously and make it a committee work. Thank you.
I assume we did receive apologies from colleagues in respect of both servers, those that couldn't make it. But I suppose the point remains to be made that it always looks better and feels better and is better if the multi-party character of the committee is mirrored in the composition of our delegation, because that gives credence to the work of the committee on this visit. All right, I think we'll leave it at that. Do colleagues want to go and reflect and maybe suggest recommendations to the secretary so that when we adopt the report next week, including the others, why not here, would have been invited in the course of next week to submit, as much as they would be invited to also do the other things that were agreed on earlier, comment on the minutes and comment on the report before we finalize. Shall we maybe just take that approach rather than try to scratch our heads now and come up with recommendations? So we'll look at what we've got, the secretary will collate, and then I'll look at that at least the day before the meeting, so that come next week, our main focus really is just the recommendations themselves. Honorable Susie, we wanted to come in.
I just wanted to say, in your opening remarks with regards to the you said you have cast to come up with the recommendation that way, so that we have during the course of the witness.
I'm just saying that in addition to that, we want to follow your earlier advice, even in this regard, of inviting colleagues, especially those who are not here, to look at the report and also come up with be it corrections or additions to the report itself, but more importantly,
sounded really good, but now or are you okay?
No, you can read it a little bit. In my report, I once said that it was a doctor who was considered in this cup, and you can do a doctor in the forum of which you speak.
Yes.
So you can give me copies of the draft report and the draft of the fact report.
The minute you want a minute for
yeah, the minute you want a minute. Thank you.
Are you from PMG or from India?
I'm from both, but for now I'm from PMG.
How can you be for both?
Well, in today, for today's meeting, I'm from PMG. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I am a journalist, actually, but today I'm working for PMG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So okay. So you moonlight either way, depending on circumstances, do you?
I'm freelancing at the moment. I'm a writer.
Lovely. Okay.
I wrote this article. I write for magazines, and I used to work for independent newspapers as a writer, and I used to be in communications. I was a media liaison officer for UWC as well, and a copywriter and an editor, but I'm focusing on completing my honors, so
okay.
I don't want to work full-time at the moment, and PhD is part-time, amongst my other...
Yeah. Once upon a time, I also worked in the newsroom as a sub-editor.
You were sub-editor for which, for Media 24. This is me actually, and what I'm busy doing at the moment. So actually I wrote this article. I wrote Enough Club magazines and Oprah magazine.
Okay,
Oprah magazine and all that. So actually my education is actually more important than that now.
And you advertise yourself, I see, which is good.
Yeah, that was a recommendation from the editor. Yeah, for freelance projects. Very easy, actually, writing is fine. I can make it, I can do it in my sleep. Which newspaper did you work for? For your sub-editing team?
Well, it was Media 24, but it was The Witness.
The Witness.
Well, yeah. They're 50% Naspers owned now.
Naspers is huge.
MWeb. Yeah, I mean, their electronic interests actually are, you know, sometimes more dominant than their print.
I saw you in the other meeting. About Scopa, the joint meeting between Scopa and public portfolio committee on mining for the derelict and endless mine. That was actually very interesting. To the DG, who was under fire. And ETV was also there, but then there was some ETV.
She was
sitting
just behind us.
They showed DG's face.
The trouble with this committee is that it's...
It never reaches the scoring because...
No.
In May, I remember, I came to this committee as well. And never reached the scoring either.
Well, it's because it's always given a
Friday time
slot,
yes,
so
yes.
Half the members aren't here. And also because by very nature of its work, and that it is such a specialist kind of focus, and it's the only committee of its kind that actually exists solely to have oversight of a Chapter 9 institution. The IEC, for example, doesn't have its own oversight committee. They're all part of Home Affairs. So it's the only Chapter 9 that has its own dedicated committee. And because of
I
that,
even knew that it's only Chapter 9.
Yeah. Well,
origin
already. Have a look at all the Chapter 9 institutions and you'll see.
Nothing for the South African Human Rights Commission.
No, they all go with their line departments. So, you know, when they present their reports, Gender Commission, IEC, you name it, they all go with their main portfolio. But this is the only one that doesn't. This is a portfolio committee in its own right.
The CGE would report to the portfolio committee on women.
It used to be Department of Justice, now it's to the women and
the persons with disabilities.
It used to be DOJ. But as I said, because of that restricted focus, the members here often tend to be people that are on other committees as well.
Mm.
And so this effectively becomes, for some of them,
a problem.
It's their second committee, not their first committee. And so when the other committee makes demands on them, as on my partner who's on the finance committee, and the finance committee is clearly, you know, his number one committee. So when the finance committee sends him to Brussels, then he has to go to Brussels.
And he's on the constitutional review committee as well.
No, that's my partner on SCOPA.
But advocate,
yeah.
Even on the constitutional review.
He will be on the constitutional review, So people do have other committees as well, and sometimes the other committee is more important or more demanding.
So how do you prioritize?
So you've got to prioritize.
How do you decipher which is more important?
Well, sometimes you just have to go with, you know, what your whip tells you to do. I've got a hearing on mineral and energy affairs. With a major problem of acid mine draining, you know, and all of the implications of that, then my chief whip says, I've got to go to that hearing and not come to a SCOAG meeting which is dealing with a, you know, a
it's
pan.
It's like in the newsroom identifying what is newsworthy and what is
exactly.
Same thing. Using your own discretion.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have to use my own discretion always. When in doubt, I just refer to the whip, and he tells me what to do. That's what whips are for.
Actual performance against targets. I think that should be the meaty part of it. objectives were measured based on targets versus the actual performance as indicated below. It's a pity that we started it in between. I wanted just to talk about the commitments that the General made in the strike plan. The Auditor General has made about 5 commitments on their strategic plan for 2009 and 10. The measurable objectives that were committed on are based on the targets versus the actual performance, as indicated below. Commitment number 1 is to ensure simplicity, clarity, and relevance of the message contained in Auditor General's auditing of performance information. And performance auditing as well as the relevance index report. Bullet number 1 under point 7.1, auditing of performance information. Performance information measured with the predetermined audit coverage milestone as defined in the audit of performance information, in which targets were set at 100% achievement for 2009 and 10 financial year of the PFMA SAG. The AG, which means the Auditor General, the AG's actual performance achieved target by 100%. As the target was set at 100%, then the AG achieved the target at 100%. Therefore, SCOWAC should congratulate the AG on this achievement. However, AG did not achieve the target on MFMA cycle, as it was also set at 100%. The MFMA cycle, it refers to the municipalities and municipal entities. The actual performance of the MFA cycle, the actual performance fell under 70%, which is shortfall of 30% from the target performance of 100%. Performance auditing. The target was set on audit income from performance audits amounts to 49.7 million. It is appreciated that the AG's actual performance on audit income from performance audit amounts to 52.1 million, exceeding the target by 2.4 million. This is what the income that was collected from the performance audit of the Auditor General.
Do we want to clarify
area by area, or do we want to allow him to finish up and have a round discussion? Correct. Area by area, or whether you want to engage at the end.
Area by area.
Area by area. The first part is dealt with now. Depending on what you also mean by area by area. Maybe 7.1 we dealt with what do you call it?
Ensuring simplicity, clarity.
What do you call it? Targets 1. What do you call it? Objective 1.
Objective 1.
Yeah, maybe at the end of objective 1, which has about 3 bullets, you can engage with those 3 bullets and then go to objective 2. Okay, thank you.
And then the last bullet on under 7.1 is the relevance index. In the survey conducted by International Organization of Supreme Audit Institution, which is in TOSA, AFSA, the Auditor General of South Africa, achieved 87%, the score was reported as a very solid result. Then we start with the 7.2.
All right. Maybe let's pause there. Do colleagues want to engage, clarify with the researcher on his analysis here? Yes, Bill?
Yeah. Chair, I'm not really convinced, to put it frankly. I can't find these targets in the section on Commitment 1 in the annual report. And quite frankly, the Commitment 1 is about simplicity, clarity, and relevance of message. And I'm not sure that there actually are measurable targets for simplicity or measurable targets for clarity. There might be for relevance of messages in the last one, but I can't find a simple numerical target, for example, for simplicity anywhere in the section Commitment 1 on page 23 onwards. So I'm not quite sure where the researcher has got these figures from.
All right. Researcher, you want to respond?
After the report of the Auditor General, the review report page, and then page of the annual report. There's a table there on page 8. The annual report page.
Well, it should be here where it appears, I believe, Chair, because otherwise, as I say, people are going to do what I've just done, and that is look at the section on commitment one, and it's not there.
Yeah.
And then people are going to say, well, where did you get these figures from?
Yeah.
Because it's not in the section. Now, the section on the relevance index is here. That's on page 29. But in fact, a lot of the other parts of that section deal with the success of the transverse audits. Now, that isn't mentioned here at all. It's not mentioned in the table on page 8, and it's not mentioned in the report. And quite frankly, I would say that that is one of the successes of the AGSA's office during the last year has been the ability to perform and report on the transverse audits. And somehow we need to capture that. And that is dealt with on page 26, for example.
Can I comment, Rebecca? If you look at the annual report, it's the main information is there on the Deputy Auditor General's report, the review. But when you look at the annual report towards the end, the reputation and the explanation of what happened on the annual, on the review report of the Deputy Auditor General. It is just the explanation, the further explanation. For example, if you...
So you're saying that that's the concern of Ms. Honorable Stella adequately dealt with in the report?
Yes, but I'm sure what I need to do also is to reference, for example, on the table that we were referring to, I have to say on the report with where is it, which page of the annual report, on what table.
All right. Yeah, I think that I'm already seeing a substantive report emerging out of this exercise from the committee, where we talk to the issues and use your research report as a basis for developing our own report. So, if there are issues that have been picked up, like the referencing thing, let's go and correct that, because we may find that at the end of
anything else under this section? All right, let's proceed.
7.2 is the comment number 2. Comment number 2 is on improving the visibility of ASA's leadership through clear communication in championing the implementation of audit recommendations. The predetermined objective was to improve on the overall reputation index. Bullet point number 1, visibility of leadership. The target set was to measure and track compliance with communication, stakeholders, relationship management, and branding milestones of 29 and 10. The actual performance could not be determined due to the fact that the survey will be conducted in 2010-11 financial year by an independent firm. 7.3, can I carry on? Is the comment number 3.
Can I just take you a little bit back first to say, having talked about the 70%, 30% shortfall issue, and in a similar way going forward, maybe we should then look at recommendations, because wherever there are weaknesses, we should then be able to say what do we think needs to be done to improve on those weaknesses or correct, and that should be the approach. So maybe let's start thinking about how do we see, or you could yourself come up with some ideas. Honorable Steele?
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, but before I recognize you, do you want to respond to what I've just said now?
I'm sure according to the mandate of SCOEC is to assist and protect the auditor general. The exercise that you have done it on oversight, visiting the municipality, I'm sure it should play a big role in order, in terms of encouraging them to...
You know, you bring an important point, because now that I remember, I think reports of the two are a little bit over-summarized, because one of the issues that I recall coming up in the interaction with Mapalabura municipality, concerns were raised relating to effective communication during the audit process, and there were agreements about how such communication are oversight visits. But there are reports on the oversight visits is not reflecting that element, for example. But Mr. Still, let me come to you now.
Yeah, Chair, can I comment on the bullet point 7.2, visibility of leadership paragraph there? And I'm looking at the table on page 9. The point that's made here about the target set and the survey that was not conducted, that in fact only relates to the very first line of the table on page 9 under visibility of leadership. This is the percentage improvement on the overall reputation index. Measure and track compliance, etc. The survey will be conducted. That is not applicable. But if you look below that, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines where the target has been achieved. And what worries me is that we have a paragraph here which essentially picks on the one line that is still to be achieved and says, there's a problem or a potential problem because we don't know the answer yet. But in fact, the AG's department has reported quite clearly on 4 areas which have been achieved and in fact exceeded in some cases. And I think it would be misleading not to include those 4 comments as well, or those 4 points which have been achieved.
number. Number 289. So that people will read and see.
So corresponding references. Don't forget that part. Okay.
32% achieved actual performance of 32% for 93 unqualified staff.
What should we make of 32% performance? Good performance, bad performance, what is the industry, and what's the context to this?
It's a good performance according to the AG because we compared it, we benchmarked it with the previous year.
Previous year, there
was a high turnover in AG. But for now,
I don't think it's about turnover.
There was a shortage of skills.
Mm.
And then they came up with this scheme of training auditor. Then that scheme helped to at least for them to train auditors, about 93 auditors who were unqualified, then they made them be qualified as a chartered accountant and registered for government.
I hear that, but I'm saying the 32%, what makes it a good performance? Why is it not 100% or 80%, for example? I'm just trying to get a sense of 30% in relation to what? Who understands it better?
As I understand it, Chair, the turnover percentage is the percentage of the staff of the total who leave during that year. And that, in fact, has been coming down very nicely over the last few years, as is shown on page 47 of the annual report, where the turnover percentage trend is down from 20% in 08, 11% in 09, to 6.6% in 2010, and that 6.6% is lower than the industry norm of 8% of the total employees in a firm or an entity. So from that point of view,
it's
much better than it should be.
Now that one I'm happy with and I understand. I'm talking to the 32% relating to professionalization of entry level staff. Who then become or acquire formal qualification. And the performance there is at 32.4%. Or 90 unqualified staff who then became qualified. So I'm saying this 32% is rated to be a very good performance. Why is it a good performance? Against what are we measuring it? What is the context to the 32% performance in this instance being a good performance?
But if you look generally, Chair, compared to the universities and other institutions that produce a chartered accountant and auditors, qualified auditors, then if there's a little number of people a year that pass, but AG was able to improve and come up about 93. That's 82%, about 93 unqualified people that became qualified.
Yes. That's the context I was trying to find. Because ideally, if you train people, you should get 100% out. But in reality, because of the level of difficulty in a particular professional context, performance might be far lower than that. So I wanted to know what's the context here. Yeah, Honorable Steele?
Chair, with regard to that, I think the critical thing there is the 5% reduction. They started off with 287 unqualified staff. The target was to reduce that by 5%. In fact, they reduced it by 32.4% to 93 net. No, from that point of view, they
exceeded their target.
Their target by six times, in fact.
I see.
I think that is the critical thing. The target was 5.
I thank him for that context.
Yeah.
And my further question would have been, why was it set so low at 5%? What was the context and the rationale behind that?
I'm sure they knew that it's
So they put in an extra effort to maximizing the prospect of positive outcomes in the program. Hence, they were able to get to the 32%. All right. Sorry? 5% is a very conservative target.
5% is a very conservative target, I agree. But when you think of the difficulty of passing your CA examinations, maybe it's a realistic target.
Maybe they were comparing it, as he says, with the university rate. Maybe we would be keen to see how elsewhere performance, actual performance is like. But we understand this as an achievement in context. All right? And I think it's an important area because we keep on talking about shortage of skills in the country. In particular, financial skills, scientific, engineering, and so on. So this is significant, not only for the AGES office, but nationally. All right. What else?
It's 7.4, commitment 4, is to focus on the funding model with a view to stabilizing access margins and cash flow. Bullet point 1, audit income and efficiencies. The target was set at 34% for 2009 and 2010 financial year. However, the actual performance fell short by 4%. In other words, the target amount to 1.682 billion in 2009-10. However, the actual amount recovered was 1.618 billion. Therefore, ASA did not achieve the target that was set for gross profit ratio on their strategic plan for 2009-10. Bullet point 2
did not achieve by 4%. That is. All right.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that first bullet point at all, and I don't think it actually accurately conveys what is in the report itself. And in order to do this, you need to have a look, Chair, if you could put a finger in page 51 and another finger in page 11. Now, the first statement there is the target was set at 34%. If you turn to page 51, and you look in the table number 11 on page 51, you will see that the figures 34% and 30% are on the very last line of that table. Okay? And what those percentages actually are is in the box on the left-hand side, and it is gross contribution to fixed and operational costs. It is, in fact, the difference between the total audit income and the direct expenditure, which is in the table above there. So to simply say the target was set at 34% actually doesn't mean very much at all when the actual percentages that are being referred to is the gross contribution to fixed and operational costs, which is the difference between direct expenditure and total audit income as given in Table 11. Now that sets it out fully. That's the actual percentages that are being compared. But to just put it in one line like this, it's not just over-summarizing, it's simplifying to the point of meaninglessness, because it's not conveying what is actually here. So, to say the actual performance fell short by 4%, in fact, what you really need to do to contextualize the whole thing is to say, yes, income fell from 1.6 billion to 1.682 to 1.613 billion. That was the actual. So income fell. That's on page 51. And at the same time, those are the total income. That's the total government entity. Then it's international. So in fact, the total incomes are 1.707 billion and 1.645 billion. And then the expenditure rose as a consequence of the income falling and the expenditure rising. The gross contribution actually falls. But one needs to summarize it or describe it in those terms.
Gross contribution to what?
To the profitability of the AG.
Oh.
See?
The gross contribution of what?
To fixed and operational costs. In other words, once you've paid your staff and your contract work and your S&T, what have you got left to invest in your buildings, your plants, your equipment, your training, whatever? And that has fallen. That is the percentage of the total income. That has fallen by 4%. But I think unless it's captured in those terms, this is seriously misleading. So could they please go back and relook at the table on page 11 and write it up as it actually appears here?
Maybe we can read also with bullet point 2. Because you find that the AG underperformed on the gross profit ratio. But you, when you come to bullet point 2, the efficiency gain, where there's net surplus, then it's where it performed well.
Yeah.
And so that's at least there.
Chair, that is the point. That 34% to 30%, that is the gross profit ratio. The difference between your income and your expenditure is your profit ratio. That has declined by 4%. You're absolutely right. And if you could capture it as such, then it would be accurate. And then at the next bullet point, which is absolutely correct, is that the surplus, in fact, increased from 4 to 6. Spot on.
Bullet point 2, efficiency gain, which is net surplus. The target for net surplus was set at 4%. However, AXA exceeded the target by 2%, as the actual performance is 6%. This is a great achievement for AXA, as it recorded deficit in three previous years. Correct.
Where we are now, because there are members who would like to leave, and we won't mention this with HOA that it's a part we have to go to our team. Already has
passed. Can we then maybe consider the kind of if we come right to the end today and not have to how many people would want to be now? How many people would want to be now? Because we left it about 2 days and then we done it. I would prefer not to have to plan for this exercise again on another week. Basically, just on top of the work around it. So, over time. Let's just proceed and see, because in any case, we don't have a quorum. We still have to review. The idea would be let's, in any case, entertain any written comments in the couple come end of the week next week. And we have a revised document for everybody.
Sorry, because of that, we don't have a program, we are not going to, we are still going to go through this program.
No, we won't.
You won't?
No, this is the one for next time. The next week, only those that have been writing made additional comments, that would be entertained. And all that you would do is to give a revised document based on all the inputs. And it would just be areas where of further clarity that people want, but won't go through the whole thing as such, because we have done it now. Yeah. So let's try and push it. We left on with only 2 pages.
I'm sorry to do this to you, Chair, but I'd like to propose rewording the first 3 paragraphs on the second bullet point under debt collection. The problem here is that these paragraphs don't make it clear who was actually responsible, and as you said, it's the auditee or the auditor in terms of the settlement of debts. Who's actually responsible? The way it's expressed here, it sounds as though the AGSA is responsible for collecting the debts. In fact, it's the responsibility of the auditees to pay the debts. So if I could just go through these 3 paragraphs and just read out where we need to be a bit more precise. At the bullet point, the target was set at 30 days for the national government to settle its audit fees. However, AGSA achieved the target. No. However, the target was achieved as the national government paid its debt. So it's not AGSA that achieved the target. The target was achieved.
Can I make a clarity on
this?
Yes. AG on this one, on debt collection, set itself a target as to how it's going to achieve in collecting the... He set a target based on how he's going to collect the debt, how much he is going to collect the debt. The target in terms of collecting the debt.
Let's put it this way. When you are a creditor, you have every right to assess and collect, even if it means approaching a court and compelling them to. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, it's a dual responsibility on the part of the auditor and the auditee, and perhaps it's okay for us not to put too much emphasis on the role of the auditee, of the auditor, as opposed to the auditee. So maybe it doesn't really matter much.
If you can go to table 13 on page 53, that's where it's actually set out.
Right.
It's the target of outstanding days for the different spheres of government. But I would really say that what is written here is incorrect because it ascribes agency to something that's not there.
Mm.
The target was achieved. received.
Yeah. I think it's a nice way of giving a balanced,
that's right,
kind of context,
okay,
to it.
And then,
I agree with you.
Thank you. And then
let's not argue it, let's correct it.
In the second paragraph, the target for the provincial government to pay its audit fee, it should be the target for the provincial government, plural, to pay,
correct,
to pay their audit fees, was also set at 30 days. However, and here again, AGSA did not achieve the target on debt collection. Again, it should be, this target was not achieved as far as the provincial governments were concerned.
Yes.
Okay? And then, again, not it failed, they failed to pay their audit fees within 30 days, and it used 59. So again, if that could be reworded to, that target was not achieved.
Yes.
Similarly, in the next paragraph, when we come to local government, the target for local government was set at paying their audit fees within 90 days. However, local government, it was allowed a period of 3 months. It failed to meet the target. Now, local government is not a single entity.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a sphere.
Yeah.
But there are municipalities within that. So, rather, one should say the municipality failed to meet the target, as they only paid the 162. So, if those paragraphs could be significantly reworded to reflect those changes, I would be happy to sit with the researcher and go through them with him.
I think it's fine to say provincial government and to say local government as opposed to government, because the word government can be used in more than one context. And I think the context really is to simply refer to a sphere. As opposed to an entity. I'm comfortable because the context really is more about sphere rather than entity. We understand that at that level you have 9 entities. So fine. In any case, I always argue, but this is something for another day, that the Constitution does not use the word independent when it refers to the different spheres of government. It says that they are distinctive, that's the language it uses, and interdependent. So they collectively, even if you look at the whole arrangement of the Constitution, they cannot really see themselves as completely divorced from each other. Flow into each other in some way or the other. All right. Yes. I think you said those corrections are suggested. They make a lot of sense. Okay, proceed.
Target 12 also.
Where are we? Haven't we just disposed of 7.5?
7.5. Oh, okay, after the last paragraph on that, 7.4. ACSA also set a limit of 5% for overall revenue collected from the international audit. The total audit income from the international audit was said to be no more than 5%. The income from international audit made up 2%, or 32.6 million of total audit income, which is within the target limit. This was an achievement to ABSA due to the fact that the international audit income should not exceed 5% limit.
It's more a balancing act. On the one hand, you do want to do international audit, comments on that? Shall we proceed to 7.5? Proceed.
7.5, commitment number 5, leading by example on matters of risk management, internal control, and transformation, including producing timely quality audit products and services. Bullet point 1, quality. The predetermined objectives as far as quality concerns of compliance with quality review standards of audits. The target was set at 75% for 2009 and 2010, but AXA achieved 100% in its actual performance. It is excellent, as excellent performance is rated at 86%. And good performance at 14%. Bullet point 2, timeliness of PFMA and MFMA reports. Target was set to comply with statutory and legislative guidelines. Target was set at 80% to comply for PFMA organizations to finish audits in 3 months of receiving their financial statement. The target of 80% was exceeded by 6.6%, as AXA completed 86.6% of PFMA organization audit in 2 months' time. Target was also set for MFMA organizations, which means municipalities, report at MFMA organizations report at 70% to complete audits within 3 months of receiving their financial statement. It is great achievement that the target of 70% was exceeded by 18%. This means AXA has audited a bigger number of the MFMA organization, which means municipalities, in 2009 and 2010 financial year.
Clarity to the earlier one, where we did not quite contextualize it here, as we've done here. All right. Any comments here? Are we covered? Are we comfortable? Right, proceed.
Another bullet point, transformation. The commitment by AXA was to ensure compliance with the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment, BEEE, legislation. The target was set at level 5 rating for 2009-10. However, a comprehensive rating will be conducted in 2011 by the external service provider. Next paragraph. AXA also committed to employment equity, promised to comply with AXA's employment equity plan. The target for compliance with the employment equity was set at 80% for the targeted groups and 20% for the non-targeted groups. The target of 80% was exceeded on targeted growth by 9%. It means AXA performed up to 89%. This is great achievement to AXA. However, with the non-targeted groups, the actual performance of AXA fell below the target of 20% to 11%. Bullet point of business process. AXA committed to focus on improving human resources and finance processes and upgrading the information and communication technology, ICT system. Therefore, AXA's predetermined the objective of the capability maturity model, CMM, for key non-audit processes. The target was set at level 3 rating. However, the actual performance achieved fell below at 0.89 rating by 0.11 rating. Therefore, ASA did not achieve the target as it was promised in its strategic plan for 2009-10. The rating of identified capability maturity level technology as it was rated at level 3 rating has not been determined yet. The focus was on upgrading the information communication technology system. Last bullet point. 2010 Soccer World Cup expenditure. ASA incurred expenditure for match tickets at the amount of 771,000 for 50 tickets. I should have added some information here because they invited other international auditor general to host them.
The general principle really is to say whenever we mention an evaluation, we should contextualize it so that it does not give the wrong impression. That's what Honorable Steele has all along been trying to and pains to say that let's not just mention things without giving full context. Otherwise, it might give the wrong conclusions or impressions of what we're saying.
Yes, sir. I was already prepared to because I wanted just members to quickly.
The issue of FIFA World Cup tickets that is a vexed issue everywhere you go. Honorable Steele will say a lot about that. Yes, Honorable Steele?
Yeah, Chair. The context is set out quite clearly on page 13 that other auditor generals from around the world were invited to attend based on the fact that the IAG is hosting the next international conference. Now, Chair, just the only question I have here is that the Accountant General, not the Auditor General, the Accountant General issued instructions as to the fact that all departments had to report on their expenditure on World Cup tickets in a specific line item in their financial statements. And I can't find that. And we need to check whether the Accountant General's instruction has been followed, and if not, why not?
Things may be phrased in the form of questions. That would be so that at our interaction with AG next week, Friday. So the purpose is not just to try and find the answers on our own. The idea is to ready ourselves to be in a position to seek the answers in the engagement with the AG next week, Friday, as the plan. So let's try to formulate questions as we go along. So the researcher trying also, as you try to respond to members, to clarify them where you see there could be questions that could be formulated. Let's start building a list of questions. And members, if they want to upfront in writing, forward them to the researcher so that he can verify and so on, so that come Friday, we're ready to ask proper questions. All the better. All right, do you want to then quickly run to the conclusion? Let's wrap it up.
Point number 8 is the overall comment on the general performance, the conclusion. There is general improvement on AXA's overall performance in 2009-10 financial year. The financial performance has improved as compared to the previous years. The committee should ensure that the challenges that AXA is still confronting with are considered in the committee's recommendation, especially debt collection from the local government, from the municipality.
Any general comments, responses?
to this presentation. Yes, I will still.
I think that conclusion is spot on, Chair.
Anything else colleagues want to raise? All right, so we've been able to achieve our own 100% target, and that is to complete our agenda. So thank you for all your hard work and the die-hard, and apologies for missing your flights and other commitments, but this is national work, so your prioritizing it is most appreciated. We have already agreed about process going forward. We'll submit whatever comments we have. Secretary, as early as Monday, issue an invitation to members to in writing.